Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to write to us, you can do so by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com. And if you would like to send us any prayer requests, I want you to know we do take them seriously before the Lord. So you can be sure of that. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter with hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On Instagram, use hashtag Warn Radio. LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler with at Watchman DGS and on CloudHub with at Warn Radio. Warn Radio Network is available through the following carriers on our Watchman Alert Radio Network: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Be sure to read the latest articles by The Watchman. They're pertinent and apply to this day and age we live in. Please read them and pass them along to your friends. On warn-usa.com, you can read, "American Eagle has landed." The American Eagle has landed. It was the hot days of summer, July 20th, 1969. So long ago, but I remember it well. President John F. Kennedy made it his goal to reach the moon. And also on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, you can read prophetic events, the time will come. Prophetic events for the time, that is, for this age is here now. Many years ago, the Lord one night awoke me to a phrase. Since that time, I have used it on and off for years. The phrase is the materializing of evil. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Watchmen. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Battle Lines.
Yep, Thursday night, Battle
yeah.
Lines.
So how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I've learned to just, you know, like if I was on the old-time TVs that weren't digital, you know, I would have a whole list of channels that I wouldn't be watching. So yeah. I've got a whole list of people today that, you know, sad as it is, in this country, we've got major journalists and journalism. We have people that from Hollywood, throughout our business industry, throughout the communication and news and media, throughout the internet, and throughout the Democratic Party, not to mention some of them in the Republican Party, that have no problem with an election that has been blatantly attacked. And the evidence is there.
Loaded with cheating and fraud.
Yeah. We knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that during Obama's rule, you know, his election in, I think it's his second election, that there was cheating going on, especially in Philadelphia. We know this. There was evidence at the time, and it was never pursued. It was hushed up.
Well, you know, if the Democrats and all these people who want Trump to concede have any integrity, they would want to get to the bottom of it. So that's how dishonest they are.
Well, you know, it is dishonest, you know. And the thing of it is, today, as I do always, every day, the Lord gave me this little, I recommend you read Psalm 118. But verse 12 of that says, they compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Well, see, we have people today that are so virulently opposed to truth that they're willing to shuck an election as long as, you know, if it's cheating, it's okay as long as they win. And you can find this in the House with Pelosi and Schumer. You can find it in a lot of other places where they willingly ignore the truth. And also CNN and all the other fake news does as well. Matter of fact, Trump and his lawyers are totally compassed about like bees, as are the supporters of Trump. Totally compassed by those that are buzzing around him, you know, calling him names. You know, buzz, 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 you're a dirty, you know, buzz, 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 you're a cheater, buzz, 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 why don't you give up, buzz, 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 day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute on the internet, they never shut up.
I know, it's
and so, guess what? We're going to win this, and, you know, there are people that are heading this up as lawyers that are seasoned. Rudy Giuliani, and I remember this, took on the mafia in New York and won. And as someone pointed out, if he can win the mafia, win over the mafia, he can do this. Sidney Powell said, we're not quitting. We're going to pursue this. We have the evidence, and it's there. I read the stuff from some of the dudes that are experts on voter fraud and these machines, and they blatantly said that this is not an accident. This has been a blatant attempt. So we'll see how the courts play out and everything, but no matter what's going on, there's been cheating.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And the sad part, the sickening part is, in America, we have a major party who doesn't seem to care if there's legitimate cheating going on. They only care about one thing, getting rid of Trump. All Trump is guilty of is being MAGA, making America great again. And we have people like Ilhan Omar, who, according to Veritas and their undercover video, was buying votes in her own district, and the Democrats wouldn't push it. They allowed her to get done with it. And, you know, the thing of it is, we've got people from other countries that live here now, and most of them came in under Obama. And I mean the illegal ones. And these people don't know the full story on voting, as does Ilhan Omar, who thinks it's okay to buy votes. Now, see, people used to get put in prison for this stuff. And we have corruption from one end of our government to the other. We have what we call the deep state. We've always had the deep state. 15, 20 years ago, it was the deep state then. We knew stuff that was going on, and we talked about it on the shows. I've been doing this for over two decades, and I can tell you, we knew the junk that was going on. Now we get one guy that comes up here, wants to make America great, and in 1 4-year term, some of the stuff that he did, nobody's else been able to do it, including in the Middle East. And they hate his guts.
Yeah, that's tragic.
And unfortunately, he came right out and said, Jesus is the leader. I mean, so, you know, it's like this, folks. Trump, if he didn't have some kind of divine help there, would never have made it this far. That doesn't make him a god, doesn't make him anything other than a man that God may be using. It looks like it for the 4 years that I've seen. Now, if God is behind him, and as they said of the Lord when the chief priests were ranting and raving and the others, the chief priest that year, though, it was the other priest, not the chief priest, but the chief priest stood up and he told him, you don't know nothing at all. And he gave a prophecy concerning the death of Yahshua. And, this is the issue here, that a lot of people are just buzzing around. They're just hate this. And for some reason, a country that was, you know, we used to use the Bible in our schools because we didn't have the money to publish and print textbooks. They would use the Bible in our schools on the prairie. That's the foundation of America, not Islam.
That's exactly right.
That's the truth of America. Were we perfect? No. But I can tell you, being perfect doesn't apply to being black or any other color either. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what I'm telling you, read Psalm 118 and understand that the wicked buzz around like bees. They gather in a storm. It says, why do the heathen rage and the nations imagine a vain thing? We are in that time in Psalm 2. And so I think Trump deserves another 4-year term so we can finish cleaning this mess out as much as we can.
That's right.
We need to clean out this election process. We need to find those who did this. We need to hold them accountable, and I don't apologize for it. And if it reaches up to Pelosi and Schumer, kick their butts out or throw them in jail. I am not one to put up with this nonsense. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you do not take care of this, America, and I'm speaking to the listeners today too, you hear me well. I'm a watchman. I'm not just a watchman, but I'm one who knows. And I know what God has showed me. And if this nation does not stand up, I can start naming nations where you will be just like them, or worse, where you will have no voice as a believer and a Christian, that anything will go in order for them to push what they want, and you will be totally destroyed in this nation as far as what you believe and what you're able to do. The curtain is coming down if you don't stand up and get behind this in prayer and understand that your elections will never be free and will never be fair, and your lives will never be free and will never be fair as well. And the first thing will go will be your rights and your kids' rights, and you will think you moved in one of these other countries that we talk about all the time on Wednesday nights, where the Christians have absolutely no recourse. When they get murdered, their kids get, you know, killed or kidnapped or something. When 2,000 of them of the enemy decide they don't like Christians and run into village and build their homes, the Christians are out everything. There's no place to go for help. Well, welcome, America. You finally understood something, that God is not going to bail you out unless you decide to stand up, repent, and understand that his blessings don't fall upon the wicked. Now, he's granted a benevolence unto the wicked to allow them time to repent. But there's coming a time when he who is perfect and he who is the one to come will judge all men at the great white throne judgment. Make no mistake about it.
Yes, amen.
So, guess what? We're in Isaiah's prophetic book, part 71. And you know what this segment is called?
Trusting the arm of the flesh.
Have we trusted in the arm of the flesh in this country?
Oh, man, have we ever.
And I'll tell you, folks, we need to reach out to the Lord as never before, because the wicked are not going to stop buzzing about like bees, because the dark ones coming in, societies are going to change, and it's going to be end up being like hell on earth. If you think it's hell now, you just wait a while. But we've still got grace here. America is not overthrown. God has given us a choice. And Tower and I have talked about this a lot. President Donald J. Trump, his last name is Trump, and this is the Trump card for America.
The last Trump.
God found a man that loved America more than any other man and put him in as president to try to change it, to give us a glimpse and a choice. Do you want truth and justice, or do you just want this thing to go as those who want to take it that way, including the globalists?
That's right.
Oh, by the way, did you know Soros and his people are putting out a full-length documentary? They want us to understand Soros. He's been misaligned.
Oh, whatever.
Well, it's his open source society, society that gave the money to all these nincompoops.
I know.
And you can look at them. Democratic, and they're the ones that allowed Antifa to burn down their cities. They're the ones that turned them all loose, and most of them are connected to that society, every one of them. And they are mayors, and they're governors, they're prosecuting attorneys, and they're attorney generals in this country. So there's the Trump card. It's been played.
Yep.
Now, if you don't want to do anything, God is fine with that. He will let you reap what you have sown. But if you really care about this nation, you'd better repent for your sins and the sins of your family and seek God like you've never sought him before and believe him to give you a deliverance of 4 more years. By that time, hopefully, we'll have this nation cleaned out, and there will be people that will coming up on both sides of the fence that won't be so malcontent.
Right, that's right.
So, with that, I've got to go do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Alrighty. Trusting in the arm of the flesh. Now, I wish we could all say that we've never done it, but as humans, we do trust in the flesh a time or two. And of course, within this, there is that little place where we repent and we decide, well, we want God's will. Now, see, the whole issue for Judah, however, you know, even though they had come a long ways since Sinai, the Sinai covenant still applied. The problem with Judah, and also with the northern tribes, has always been idolatry and falling away from the Lord. And it's really ironic that if either one of those states, you know, the northern tribes or Judah itself, had a political leader that followed the Lord, that honored his word, and told, you know, actively celebrated things that they were supposed to celebrate according to the law, then the people would follow him. But there also came a time when they would keep the commandments and they would keep the Sabbaths and the feasts and everything. And they did it by rote, and there was no love involved, and they also served other gods. And so, if you had a good leader, one that served God in truth, you can talk about Josiah's reforms, Hezekiah, you know, then there was a blessing upon the place. But if you were like Jezebel and her old man, then you were an enemy of God. And you had major problems with his prophet. So now as we find ourselves today, we are in chapter 30. And we're still looking at this. Now a lot of this is going to be changing because Isaiah just doesn't stay on one thing. He moves ahead. And in verse 4 it says, "For his princes were as Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes." You know, in order to find help, you have to send an envoy. And of course, if you're going to beg them to send an army, it's going to cost you money. Now, of course, if you were Egypt, you could say, "Oh, sure, we'll help." But you knew full well that you would be really busy because who was coming through the land but Assyria? Very, very vicious. And Assyria, Sennacherib, would be at the gates of Jerusalem, and that, of course, would be his so-called Waterloo, as we say of Napoleon, who had his Waterloo. So, although they went to their, sent their ambassadors, they talked to the princes and the leaders of the country. They got their confirmation that, oh yeah, everything would be fine. But instead of help, Egypt would end up being conquered and led away. Now, there were times that, even during the Roman Empire, Rome got along pretty good with Egypt. But see, Egypt did have some problems as far as having foreigners conquer them. But they didn't always, totally conquer them. But the interesting thing about Egypt, we do find Egypt in prophecies concerning the end of days. And so it's interesting to look at some of those. We're not going to do it tonight. But there's more to Egypt than the old verbiage meets the eye. And so while you go to your friend and you say, "Well, can you help me? I've got a big bully going to beat me up. Can you be there to help me?" And so he says, "Yeah, I'll be there." So after school, you go out, and before you know it, you're meeting the bully and your friend ain't anywhere around. Well, at that point, you finally realize that you have trusted in someone that you shouldn't have. And so Egypt would be one of those that they're not going to be able to help it. They may want to help, Judah, but they can't. Now, when we talk about Zoan, that was the residence of the kings in Lower Egypt. And that's where the ambassadors from Judah would go. And of course, when you go, you want to go to a nice palace. You want to be met by people who had authority and, they were all dressed to the hilt in kingly and princely attire, had big feasts and, everything was wonderful. And they had another little word in there called Hanes or Tophanes. Now, there's been some debate on that, about being on the delta of the Nile. Now, the Nile is quite a river, and of course it spreads out. It kind of reminds me of the delta we have in America when you follow the Mississippi on down and it goes into a delta. It spreads out and the water goes out. It's an amazing process how the water is all connected together. So at any rate, so we look at Hanes and Tophanes. When Babylon comes in, and this is forwarding ahead a little bit, And they, after Judah, after many, many years of ignoring Jeremiah's warning, find themselves being overrun, taken captive. The walls are destroyed at Jerusalem. The temple's destroyed. It's looted. And of course, there's a lot of people that believe that the priests were able to hide the ark at the time. But Babylon was able to carry away a good amount of stuff. So when Babylon destroys Jerusalem, there's no deliverance. And this is really something that when we talk about this, where we're at now, that Isaiah is talking about, the approach of Assyria is something that God is using to wake Judah up. And they needed to repent. They needed to get back with the Lord. They needed to stop messing around with other gods. They needed to just stick with him. Because if they didn't, there's another judgment coming called Babylon. They didn't pay attention. So then you catch up with it in Jeremiah 42. Azariah, the son of Hosiah, and Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the proud men. You can figure, proud men. Because pride is okay in his place, but now they're full of pride right now. And they've just seen their country destroyed. So they have an idea. They want to keep going, so they're going to go down to Egypt, and the Lord definitely doesn't want them to go to Egypt. Now, there's a reason for that. God isn't being mean. Now, Egypt, God had to deliver them out of Egypt. You know, Egypt was not a friend to Israel, to Judah. It was only a friend when God had arranged it and had them delivered. And of course you have Joseph. But you see, now we're way ahead, and you look back and your city has been destroyed. So the proud men get together and say, okay, let's go to Egypt. And Jeremiah had told them already. So this is what they tell Jeremiah. Now listen, this is a prophet that's been warning them for a very long time. He warned them to repent. He told them that it would be destroyed, that Babylon would come after them and succeed. Nobody listened to him. I think he had some followers there that did listen to him, but the people that mattered, the ones in charge, didn't listen, including the prophets that were there. They were false prophets, the priest, etc., etc., all the way to the political. Nobody listened. So they said, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. It's interesting to say, because while everything was happening up there, it says in verse 7 of that, they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus came they to Tophanes. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he says, take great stones in your hand, and hide them in the clay and the bricklin, which is the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say, thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over him. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as for death to death, and such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. Now see, this is a lesson in understanding that God is in charge in the nations, including America. I don't care who you are, what your name is, what you think you're preaching or teaching, the Lord God is the governor of the nations. And I take issue with anybody that objects to that. I mean, they can believe what they want to. Now, these guys did, and it got them in trouble. God told them not to go down there. What's going to happen? He's sending Nebuchadnezzar down there, and his own people didn't listen to him, so they went down too. So now they're going to be right in the way, and those who are for death will find death. Those who are for captivity will be for captivity, and those who are for the sword, they will die by the sword. See, this is the important thing to understand. Now, there are issues in this world today that are as perilous as what we're talking about here. Now, it may not seem perilous to you because this is history. This is about a prophet by the name of Isaiah and one by the name of Jeremiah are long dead, are long gone. They've been dead a long time, and their writings have survived for us today. And there's people today that poke fun of it. They don't like it. They don't believe it. And I deal with this every day on the internet and doing what we've been doing for over two decades. I dealt with it even before then. I dealt with it while I was a youth pastor in a church and was telling them a few things, and they didn't want to believe it. We are a people of faith many times that don't listen to the truth and get ourselves in trouble. And that's exactly what happened to Judah when they didn't listen to Jeremiah, to the words of the Lord, to not go down into Egypt. There's a reason. Always being nasty. In verse 5, they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and a reproach. Now see, come to find out, although Egypt might have been willing to give a friendly ear to listen to them, in the end, they knew they were unable to help Judah, unable to give him any aid. We can't spare you soldiers. We can't even spare soldiers for ourselves. And they were a pretty big power at the time. In verse 6, it says, the burden of the beast from the south. Now that's a caravan from Judah to Egypt. And of course, this would refer to loading all your camels and beasts and whatever you had there with goods and treasures to take it to Egypt and say, okay, we need your help. And it says, into the land of trouble and anguish, for from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent? Then will they carry their riches upon the soldiers' shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. And see, this is a good idea or a good image of that little adage about trusting in the arm of the flesh. Now, you can find that, you know, even when we're looking in the New Testament, we can understand that we don't trust in the arm of the flesh. We have faith, but we trust in the Lord. But if you trust in the arm of the flesh, and that arm of the flesh is strong enough to get you to continue to live your life by trusting in those things that you can see, feel, touch, smell, taste, etc., everything around you, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all these things, and find that they sustain you, and many people find it that way, in the end, they don't profit you. Now, see, we're talking about eternal profit. That's not the bottom line making you a millionaire. That's the bottom line of whether or not your soul is saved. See, having someone that will protect you physically or feed you or take care of you, yeah, they, you know, you find someone and they take you in and they give you food and water and clothing and shelter and a place to stay and teach you how to do some kind of a job, and you go out on your own, you're beginning to do that, so you learn. All that's well and good. A lot of people have jobs. A lot of people have crafts that they do. But you see, the bottom burden here is that is who have you trusted in? Those things which your hands have created or your mind has created, thought up, and you've made lots of money. Or those things like these techies. I was on the internet when a lot of these punks were just punks. And they were messing around with that. Tower and I were on the internet. And the first, we were among the first few first people even to have an internet, which is nothing like it is today. I mean, we have video, we have audio, we have everything. And our computers are light years from what used to be. Now, see, all these young punks that were playing around now are multimillionaires now. Now, see, they've come to learn to trust in their technology, but where is the Lord in their life? And I can tell you from looking at their fruits, they don't think about that much. See, because your computers and your billion-dollar businesses is not going to save you from the Antichrist. And it's in the same respect, God was telling Judah, I am your salvation. And he's speaking to Christians in America and around the world, I am your salvation today. But you see, Judah went to all that work and time and they sent the gifts to Egypt only to eventually find out that it's not going to do any good because the judgment is coming. But see, there is a caveat here which they don't really know at the time because this thing is playing out. And when Assyria does come, Hezekiah, of course, is the king. And the Assyrians don't destroy Jerusalem. I mean, they've come through the whole area. They've done damage everywhere they went. And their army parks outside the gates of Jerusalem. And this is actually covered earlier in all of this. But see, God was going to deliver them. Because this is a life lesson for Judah. The next time would be Babylon, and he would not deliver them because they will not repent. They would not listen to Jeremiah. I've talked to preachers over the years. I've talked to prophets over the years. One in particular, a Jewish prophet, who is no longer with us. But he just flat said that America doesn't want to be saved. They wouldn't listen. You know, that's the trouble with nations. Nations get that way. Nations are made up of people, and in America we have many faiths, many denominations, many different kinds of people have come to this country. And a lot of them have come from socialist places that was hard. And I don't know how many I've seen that spoke out in the news and on the internet about don't listen to these people who are trying to get you to follow socialism. It's Marxism. You got Marxists up in your government right now. You've had them there. You've had them there for years. And you have them in other states, and they've been there for years. That's where the enemy is. But I think sometimes the enemy really is that little thing called pride and the arm of the flesh. You see, because while you have Christians over in China that have literally been cut off, their church is destroyed, they're persecuted, they're thrown in jail, some of them facing huge, huge time in jail. North Korea is the same way, only it's worse than China. In Nigeria, Niger, Ethiopia, all across Africa almost, Christians are being killed, beheaded. Their governments are no good to help them. Castro, Marxist regime. We recently covered another story about a church that was closed down there. And they just don't close churches, folks. Anybody that doesn't agree with them or does things they don't like. Now see, we're in the section here of Isaiah, and we're looking at trusting in the arm of the flesh, which Judah did. And we can't sit here and say shame on Judah, because guess what? We do it today. And even you do it. Right there, listening to this. And I can tell you in America we do it. And I can tell you why. Because we have jobs. We have retirement. We have a place to go get our teeth fixed called a dentist. We have insurance to help pay for it. We have medical insurance when we get sick. We have money to be able to give money to people for free during COVID. But yet now, we're facing this COVID and a bunch of liberal Democrats who close everything up. And even Justice Alito came out and said that a lot of personal liberties and rights were being destroyed during this, that the governors and others who were doing, you know, they're getting away with it. And they shouldn't. Your freedoms are at jeopardy here. And if your freedoms go, so do your churches. And if your churches go, so does your Medicare, your medical, and all your other things you have. There will be no freedom. There will be no fun. If America falls, there won't be anything left to really replace it. You do not want to be here if America falls. So when the enemy came to the gates of Jerusalem, God delivered him. And so I'm wondering in America, so when the enemy comes to the gates of D.C. and the gates of your hometown, who are you going to trust in? Will the Lord be there to deliver you? Do you even believe in him? Do you even care? Or do you think that no matter what comes, America will survive? It's not the, you know, when you go around the world, the nations of men are in trouble everywhere. We are in a time of shaking, and there is more judgment coming. And God is shaking the nations and waking up and making uncomfortable the people to get them to understand that God has redeemed you through his Son, and you have to repent. You need to come to him and accept him, believe on him. Verse 7, it finally says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. And so the prophet says, therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. And when you talk about sit still, I mean, you know. referring to the Egyptians, their strength is to sit still and do nothing. Although the Egyptians pretended they were strong and they would help, she'd be ineffective. She wouldn't be able to do anything. I mean, this is really where we have to take note in our own lives as well. And as human beings, we can have jobs and have insurance and have retirement. What do you do with your life and what do you do with your money? You put the Lord first. And seek Him. You walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1. Then you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But see, it's one thing to talk about Scripture and to talk about redemption, because there's a little place in faith that demands you to meet reality. It's not okay just to go hide and put out little simple platitudes that you believe. No, God will test you. He's not going to let you get away with just hiding and playing pretend or hide and seek. He will test you. And if you're going the wrong way, He will correct you. And if you reject that, Paul says, are you not bastards and not sons? Tough language. We don't even use that word anymore. That's a tough word. Now see, the prophet was told in verse 8, now go write it before them in a tablet. That would be on a stone or wood or metal. They would engrave it for a record. Of course, if you're a prophet, you're writing down what God wants. You have to write it. But see, you put it on a parchment, but parchments can, you know, be destroyed. You put it on a piece of stone, that baby's going to be there for a while. When I was in the service many, many years ago, I was stationed on the East Coast. One of the things I like to do is go into the New England area on the East Coast. And we would go by these old graveyards that date back to the 1700s, 1600s, or whatever it is. And it's an amazing sight to see a graveyard filled with people that were here so long ago. Their bones are still in the ground. And you can look at the stone. You can look what they put it on. You can see it. Man, you want something to last, get you a stone out and grave it. That puppy will be there. You go down to the cave paintings that we have in the Southwest here. Those were put on them walls a long time ago. And it's hard to believe. You know, there were people that were standing there and the same God was in charge. I mean, dear God in heaven, does anybody understand what I'm trying to tell you? God wanted him to have a record that would not. And he says, a noted in a book, that would be a parchment, that it may be for the time to come, and he says, forever and ever. So you can look in the future, when all this is over, and you can say, you know, God warned us, and we didn't listen. Ah, that's a lesson. We need to listen to God. What did Paul say? The New Testament tells us that the things that were written before were written for us so that we would learn from them. That's my interpretation. They're written for us as examples. They're written for us to remind us. We need reminded, people. Verse 9, and it goes. He goes on to say that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Now you see, remember, this is Judah. They're far removed from Sinai, but yet the covenant is still there. But they don't obey it, and they broke it, making them liars. They were to be sons and daughters of the Lord God, but they've broken the covenant, and they will not hear. And it says specifically that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now you see, in the Strong's, rebellious is bitterness, which leads to rebellion or being rebellious. And that describes a lot of the people in Congress that are so bitter, so hateful at Trump, that they're willing to allow cheating in election in order to beat him. Then it says lying, faithless, lying. We have a lot of that today. A son. You know, that word son, he could be a Levite or an anointed one. Someone of the family name, like a son who builds the family name. In other words, he multiplies and keeps the name going. But if we're sons of God, as Yahshua said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's a covenant for us in the New Testament through Christ and his work on Calvary. The sons of God. You see, God had a plan for Judah, and he has a plan for us. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. God is not done with Judah or Israel. They've got to find their Messiah. And many Jews have. But see, God today is not going to excuse your sin, your stubbornness, and your rebellion. He has provided a way for you to get forgiveness and to repent and come unto him and come into the family. But being prideful and rebellious will lead to your eternal death. It did with Judah, it'll do with you. Now you see, Judah was brought back after 70 years. But the bottom line today is that whenever I see a lot of this and I think on trusting in the arm of the flesh, you know, we can look at this story and you can say, well, you know, we don't blame Judah. We would have done the same thing. I mean, if someone was coming to attack our town or our city, you'd want to find some help, especially if you didn't have a big army. But see, nobody was able to help them, and this was a lesson for them. And it's just like the thing going on with Trump and the election in America. You can't change anything. You can work it out and trust God. And so be that God may hear us and grant us victory. Then we shall prevail and Trump will come in for another 4 years. There are things that need to be cleaned up and he will clean them up. But if we allow, you know, if Biden gets in, then we can assume that is God's judgment on this nation. And if Biden gets in, then there will be, that will point to a judgment. But my whole thing from the beginning was never really one particular avenue or the other. I hope personally for one avenue, but I was waiting for the Lord to see what he would do. And that's what Habakkuk did. He complained to the Lord. He says, your word has fallen. He was talking about all the wickedness. Why have you caused me to see all this? I'm paraphrasing it, but you just go to Habakkuk chapter 1. And the Lord said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a bitter and hasty nation that will invade you, destroy, rape, kill, and pillage. That'll take care of it. Well, Lord, that's not what I had in mind. Why would you judge us by the hands of a nation who's much wickeder than we are? And that's what the whole book is about. I have a number of teachings on that. But you think about it. So Habakkuk said, I'm going to go sit at my watch and wait until the Lord answers me, and I will see what he will say when I am reproved. Well, he wasn't reproved. God explained it to him. Today, God wants you to know that he wants you as his own, forgiven, and in perfect harmony with him through Christ Jesus. He wanted that for Judah. And Judah's still here today. Father, thank you for your teaching and for your mercy. Be merciful unto us, O God, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, and save those who need thy redemption. Establish those who need to be established, comfort those who are afflicted, and make a way for those who don't know how to get out of their trouble. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. So we are...
Hello?
Hello. I can hear you. Boy, I heard that.
I know. I'm sorry. I forgot to get it put back together.
Well, you know, when we get
our studio.
Our studio. Yeah. Our studio. Well, at any rate.
Well, that was a good teaching. I certainly don't want to be on the receiving end of God's judgment. And I liked what you prayed. Help those to get out of... Help or make a way for them to those who don't know how to get out of their troubles. That's a lot of people need to know that, hear that, believe that the Lord will do that, because there's a lot of troubles and a lot of confusion. And
there is.
And because they're in that situation, they're at a loss.
That's right.
To know what to do.
That's right, they are. If he made a way for Judah, and gave him a warning at the same time, he could do that for us.
Amen.
If he made redemption through Yahshua on the cross for all of us, we have hope. No matter how bad it gets, we are the winners through Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen. Thank
My
God.
Kingdom in the end is not the United States of America. My kingdom is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, the only begotten Son of our God and our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is coming soon, and I believe it, and I stand in him. Hell's a-coming, but hell has nothing over the Son of Almighty God.
Amen.
In Revelation, Yahshua calls himself the Almighty. And in Revelation 22, he says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. I will give every man according as his work shall be. That is the Alpha and the Omega right there. He is our hope today.
Yes.
Oh, we got to get out of here.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. Next week is Thanksgiving, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Be thankful. And we love you. We pray for you. And we hope the best for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Till next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.